You can have a seat.
Well, this morning we're going to share in a baby dedication. No, that's at 11 o'clock. Never mind. I'm going to preach. That's getting ahead of myself. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the stresses of Christmas. Christmas can be a stressful time. You know, usually we think of the joy and the festivities of Christmas, but it does cause stress for people. Even those who have good things going on in their lives, you know, they probably spend too much and then they have the stress of debt. But then there are other people who are separated from family. I think of people who are in the military, separated, the family here, the family there, the loved one overseas, and they're separated at the holiday season, and that's a stressful time. And people can get depressed. We get busy at Christmas. Christmas is usually a time of parties and activities and Christmas programs, church programs, and we really get busy, and it creates a lot of stress. I heard the story of a woman who was just really super stressed. It was coming up to Christmas, and she just blurted out, she was sitting in the living room with her husband, and she said, "This year, I am not going to pay for a Christmas tree." And she got up, went out to the garage, found an axe, got in her car, and drove away. About 15 minutes later, she came back with her Christmas tree, and her husband said, "Boy, that didn't take long." And he said, "How did you go out to the woods and get a Christmas tree that fast?" And she said, "Well, I didn't go to the woods. I just went to the tree lot around the corner." And he said, "I thought you said you were going to pay for a Christmas tree." She said, "That's why I took the axe." She was stressed. Can you imagine the tree salesman? He was stressed. Pastor ordered a sign for the church for Christmas, and the sign company called and said, "You know, they garbled up your order here, and we need you to resend, email us the information about exactly what you want on the sign and the dimensions of the sign." "Okay, well, I'll resend that." So he sent it. Well, there was a secretary at the company who on the receiving end received this message: "For unto us a child is born, 8 feet long and 3 feet wide." Well, I want to talk to you about the stress of Christmas time. We're going to specifically talk about the stress that Mary faced. And at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you to make a positive declaration about yourself at this Christmas season. Let's read the scripture, Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading at verse 26. Luke 1, 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Now, in 2011, I'm reading from the NIV, but in 2011, the NIV came out with a new version, and I'm wondering how many of you have the new version, and so it reads there in verse 37, where I read, "For nothing is impossible with God," where does it say in yours, "For no word of God will fail," or something like that? Who has that? Okay, you have a newer version. And here's the good news for you. You have a more accurate translation. I studied this, and we'll talk about that later in the sermon. So, "For nothing is impossible with God," or "no word of God will ever fail." Then the angel left her. All right, I'm going to give you three things that Mary demonstrated that we need to demonstrate when we face the stresses of Christmas. Because you see, what Mary faced when the angel appeared to her and said, "You're going to have a baby," was stressful. This was not a time for, "Oh, wow, everything's working out just as I had hoped, just as I planned." This was a huge interruption. Everything was going to change. Everything was going to be different. And this was a time of stress. So here's the first thing that I want you to see that is modeled by Mary. In the unpleasant, recognize God's favor. You know, aren't we tempted to believe that God's favor only brings good things? But you need to see, even when it is not working out, even when it seems unpleasant, that could be God's favor. When the unpleasant comes, we have a tendency to say, "Well, where's God in this?" And maybe we need to change our thinking so when the unpleasant comes, we say, "There's God." Joseph of the Old Testament said to his brothers, "You meant it for really bad stuff, what you did, but God meant it for good." So when Joseph was being sold by his brothers as a slave, there was God. We need to recognize the favor of God even when it gets unpleasant. A grandfather asked his little granddaughter, "Well, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" And she said, "No, but it's not my birthday." I appreciate that little girl. Well, there are three reasons why things don't go our way. One is we make messes of our own lives. It's our own fault. Another reason that things don't go our way is that we just live in a sin-cursed world. It may not be anything we did, but we just live in a bad environment. And there are bad people around us, and there is death, and there is disease, and we live in a sin-cursed world. But sometimes when the unpleasant happens, it is the direct hand of God. And when those things come, we need to be able to say, "There is God," and recognize his blessing and recognize his favor. When the hardships come, we need to say, "You know, God knows what he is doing. God is sovereign." Here's what the angel said in verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And then again in verse 30, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" So when something difficult happens, say, "Lord, am I experiencing your favor in this moment?" This was a bittersweet time for Mary. She knew what all this meant. This was unpleasant. But in the Psalms, we read, "For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." So when something difficult comes, we need to just step back instead of panicking and saying, "Oh, this is really bad," and making negative declarations. And I told you at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you to make a positive declaration. But instead of making negative statements, maybe we need to say, "God, are you in the midst of doing something wonderful?" And you know, God weaves everything together. And he's God, and his ways are beyond our ways. And it amazes me to think, when God weaves everything together, that there are 7 billion people in the world, and everything he does, it all weaves together for the benefit of everybody. Wow. I can't even get my head around that. And so we should not panic. Mrs. Park arrived home after grocery shopping, and when she got into the house, it was unusually quiet. She thought, this is not right, because, you see, Mrs. Park had 5 children. And so she expected the house to be noisy, and it was unusually quiet. So she set the groceries down and went into the living room, and there on the living room floor sat her 5 children, each one of them holding the cutest little baby skunk. 5 baby skunks. And she saw that, and she screamed, "Run, children, run!" And the kids all jumped up with their skunks and ran in five different directions with those five little skunks. And run, children, run! And in the stress of that moment, those little children squeezed their skunks. Skunks don't like to be squeezed. Here's what I want to tell you, and this is a profound truth that you should write down. You should write this down in your notes. Don't squeeze the skunks. Don't squeeze the skunks. How often do we, you know, and it's bad, and we get ahead of God. We take things into our own hands, and we panic, and in the panic, we make things worse. And so, in the unpleasant, recognize the favor of God. Now, in the second service, I am going to do a baby dedication. Later in chapter 2, where we just read, it says that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to present him at the temple, as was written in the law that the firstborn son should be dedicated to the Lord and consecrated to the Lord. So they were taking baby Jesus, you know, for a baby dedication. And at that event, an old man named Simeon came up to them. He took the baby Jesus in his arms, and he said this: "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that was spoken against, so that the thoughts of many will be revealed." And then he looks at Mary and says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is a lousy baby dedication. I want you to know that in the 11 o'clock service, when I dedicate little Braden, I'm not going to say, "This kid is going to be a problem. He is going to break your heart." Wouldn't that be awful to do that at a baby dedication? But that's what Simeon did. But Mary somehow, through all of this, knew it's unpleasant, but I am experiencing the favor of God. Here's the second thing I want you to see. In the unknown, rouse your faith. You see, we can't know everything. And when we want to say to God, you know, "Why is this happening?" or "How are you going to fix this?" and we don't know those answers, there's so much that we don't know, we need to just rouse our faith and trust in God. Mary asks this question in verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." Now, I used to contrast that, "How will this be since I'm a virgin," with Zechariah. And if you know the story of Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, a cousin to Jesus or a distant relative of Jesus, Zechariah was told, "You're going to have a son." And Zechariah asked almost the same, "How will this be since I'm an old man and my wife is barren?" And I thought, well, And when Zechariah did that, he was struck dumb. He couldn't talk. I used to think, Zechariah says, "How will this be?" And he's struck dumb. Mary says, "How will this be?" And the angel says, "Oh, sweetie, let me tell you. What's the difference?" Well, there is a difference. There is a difference. And later, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, you know, they're both pregnant now, and so these two cousins get together to celebrate. And when they meet each other, Elizabeth makes this declaration: "Blessed is she who has believed that what God has said to her will be accomplished." You see, Mary believed. Zechariah was doubt. Mary was, "I'm curious." Her attitude, you know, "How will this be? I'm a virgin." If I may paraphrase, this should be interesting because I'm not going to break my vow of purity. So this should be interesting how God's going to work this out. I wonder how. That was the difference between Zechariah and Elizabeth. One was doubt and one was curiosity. But she did believe. Mary always believed. And she said, "I don't understand it. I don't get it. But I know God's in control." And so in the unknown, rouse your faith. And some of you are facing some unknown things, but just rouse your faith. Jesus' very first miracle was done at the prompting of Mary, his public miracle. I have a feeling that Jesus may have been doing miracles at home in his growing up years. But he's out in public, and they're at a wedding. And at the wedding, they ran out of wine. And so Mary, she goes to Jesus, hey, Jesus, you can fix this. And he says, well, wait a minute. I haven't done any public miracles yet. I'm not sure that I should be doing things publicly yet. She just shook her head, and she went over to the servants, and she said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. I like that attitude. You see, because Mary's attitude was when the angel said, you're going to have a baby, she said, whatever you say, I'm willing to do. May it be to me as the Lord has spoken. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. I don't understand how it's going to work, but trust him. Where am I? Okay, number three. Oh, no. Let me just stop right here. I said earlier you had a different version, some of you, in verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. And the new NIV says, no word of God will ever fail. A literal translation is, no word from God shall be void of power. That is a literal translation. Where the older translations say nothing, where nothing is impossible, the Greek word is A-U-T, out. And it means no word. And so no word of God shall be void of power. For you see, the word was God. No word of God shall be void of power. And so when the angel says, this is what's going to happen, okay, that's how it's going to happen. Here's the third thing I want you to see. In the unexpected, remain flexible. You see, life brings to us unexpected things. This pregnancy was an unplanned pregnancy. And we don't always get what we're expecting or even what we want. Husband said to his wife, what do you want this year for Christmas? She said, something that will make me look pretty and beautiful. So he thought about it. She was so anxious for Christmas. She said, I'm going to get a new dress. I'm going to get something romantic to wear. We'll go out on a date or something. And on Christmas morning, she went out, and there in the living room by the tree was an exercise bike. You know, sometimes guys just don't get it. But we don't get what we're expecting sometimes. And Mary wasn't getting what she was expecting. She was expecting a joyous wedding. And instead of planning a wedding, she had to plan a nursery. Every girl dreams of a wedding. Last week, I talked to you about Jewish wedding. How many of you are here for that message last week about a Jewish wedding? Now, if you remember what I taught you last week, she went through the first part of all of this, of the betrothal. Joseph coming, offering her the cup, she receiving the cup. All that had happened for Mary, and Joseph went back. And while Joseph is preparing a place for Mary, it's discovered that she's pregnant. And what happened was, the scripture says simply that Joseph took her home to be his wife. After the angel appeared to Joseph and explained it. He simply took her home to be his wife. There was no trumpet. There was no parade through town. There was no marriage supper. There was no party. All of that was off. Can you imagine the disappointment of a girl who has looked forward all her life to her wedding day, and now that doesn't happen? In the unexpected, remain flexible. And Mary said, may it be to me as you have said. She set aside her pride. She may have lost her reputation. She set aside her own desires to do what God was calling her to do. Now, most theologians speculate that Mary was a young teenager, 13, 14, 15, something like that. What a challenge for teenagers even today to get to a place to say, I don't know what the future holds for me, but at my young age, I'm trusting the Lord and I'm giving myself over to him to say whatever he wants of me, that's what I'll do. His plan. And we never know about tomorrow. James wrote, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And that's where Mary was. Whatever the Lord's will is, that's what's going to take place. And she remained flexible. And I want to encourage you in the unexpected interruptions. And the Lord loves to interrupt. He often interrupts. When he makes changes that are challenging, we need to remain flexible. So when the unpleasant, the unexpected come to us, how do we respond? A lot of us will grouse, will complain, will criticize. But I want to encourage you to make a positive statement just as Mary did. You know, in the gospel message, and I'm a preacher and I like to preach good news. I like to give a good word to people that will lift their spirits and encourage them and allow them to rouse their faith and say, you know, God has something good, and that's the purpose of this message. But I got to tell you, part of the good news of Jesus is it's really going to be good when you yield to him and set aside your own stuff. And the Lord says to us, it isn't always going to be easy. I'm not going to give you everything you want. And let me just step back for a minute and say, shame on us as Christians if we've presented the gospel to the world in a way that says, become a Christian and then everything will be good. Become a Christian and get ready to sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed when he prayed, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. We need to be willing to face the unpleasant and the unexpected. Mary, can you imagine some of the questions she might have thought when the angel said, you're going to have a baby? She would probably thought, well, I wonder if this will cancel the marriage. You know, how will Joseph respond to this? She could have thought, how will my parents respond to this? Will I be cast out of the house? Will they still love me? Will my friends stand with me? Will I be dragged in the middle of town and stoned to death? Because the Jewish law at that time says if a woman is caught in adultery, she is to be stoned to death. And now it appeared that that's what had happened to Mary. And then even if I am allowed to live, I'm going to go through labor. Will I have my mom to be with me when that happens? Will I survive the birth? The angel said that this child would be king, and that's pretty exciting. But what will become of me? But I want to remind you of Mary's words. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And that's the positive declaration that I want you to make. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as God has said. Are you willing to make that statement? I'm going to ask you to say it aloud with me in just a moment. But I also give you permission to not say these words if it really isn't in your heart to say it. I don't want you to be hypocritical about this. I don't want you to just go along with the crowd. But just consider your own life. If it gets ugly and unpleasant and uncomfortable and you don't know what's going to happen, are you willing to just say, I trust the Lord in this? And so whatever he wants, I'm game. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as God has said. I think we're going to even, do we have these? Yeah, there we go. If you're willing to say this aloud with me. We'll just read it together. Are you ready? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as God has said. Lord, this morning we're yielding to you. We're handing ourselves over and we're saying, it's not my life, it's yours. Do with me whatever you wish, even when it's unfamiliar, unpleasant, unknown. Lord, we want to be yours. We trust you. You are God, you are sovereign, and thank you, Lord, for weaving so many things together for everybody's good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.